Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. In chapter 2, we will read verses 1 through 12. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1376. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When the wise men heard the king, they departed, and beheld the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. When ACMAR had Christmas with the veterans, one of the team members was given a booklet by the author. The front of the booklet by James Couch bears this caption: "The stories in this booklet are some noteworthy events remembered by the author during his 40 years as a funeral director. As you can imagine, he saw quite a few changes in the funeral business during his career. He had some stories about funerals, faith, and families, and how they are intertwined. However, it is the title that had the most thought-provoking impact on me. It's a two-part title. The first part says, 'I will let you down.' On the inside cover, James Couch has a note about the title. 'I will let you down' is intended to be a pun. It could mean, 'As a funeral director, I will let you down,' or it could mean, 'I will let you down because of my sinful nature.' It is the second part of the title that clarifies. The second part of the title says, 'God will never let you down.'" Couch explains, "God will never let you down is a true statement. Many times I've seen God make himself present at numerous funerals to provide comfort and understanding to grieving families. I will let you down. God will never let you down." This can be said by any of us. Who among us has not, because of our sinful nature, let someone down? Certainly the people living at the time of Jesus' birth had been let down numerous times by the reigning kings. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The Life Application Study Bible, the New Living Translation, offers the following commentary on Herod. It starts by saying the Bible records history. It's proven itself an accurate and reliable record of people, events, and places. Independent historical accounts verify the Bible's descriptions and details of many famous lives. One of these was the father of the Herodian family, Herod the Great. Herod is remembered as a builder of cities and the lavish rebuilder of the temple in Jerusalem, but he also destroyed people. He showed little greatness in either his personal actions or his character. He was ruthless in ruling his territory. His suspicions and jealousies led to the murder of his children, several of them, and the death of his wife, Mariamne. Herod's title, King of the Jews, was granted by Rome, but it was never accepted by the Jewish people. He was not part of the Davidic family line, and he was only partly Jewish. Although Israel benefited from Herod's lavish efforts to repair the temple in Jerusalem, he won little admiration because he also rebuilt various pagan temples. He won little loyalty of the people because his loyalty was only to himself. Though he managed to hold on to his power for more than 30 years, Herod was constantly worried about losing his position because his royal title was not genuine. Herod was troubled when the wise men came seeking one born king of the Jews. They had seen his star in the east and had come to worship. Now Herod had some knowledge of faith. He knew that a Messiah was expected. So Herod called the chief priests and the scribes together and he asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. The religious leaders quoted the Old Testament prophet Micah. It is out of Bethlehem in Judah that a ruler would come who would shepherd God's people, Israel. Herod secretly called the wise men to him. He asked about the timing of the star. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the young child. When you found him, come back to me that I may come and worship him also." The wise men departed, and the star went before them until it stood over where the young child was. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their actions were prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60, verse 6. Scripture was being fulfilled. "The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord." The birth of Jesus was a new beginning. Life on earth has never been the same since Jesus' birth. God revealed this to the wise men from the east with a star. We call God's revelation to them an epiphany. They were able to see and to know from their, not from their own knowledge, but because God revealed or showed them. They worshiped Jesus by bowing and presenting gifts. Perhaps because their eyes were opened by God to this great event, they were open when God warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So they departed from their own country another way. After the wise men left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek to destroy Jesus." During the night, Joseph arose, took Jesus and his mother, and left for Egypt. Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. What a heartbreaking tragedy to kill baby boys for no greater reason than they had been born. Yet given the choice, I would rather be carried to God from their cradle than the castle of Herod. A few years later, Herod the Great will die from an incurable disease. I'd like to share one of James Couch's stories from his booklet, I Will Let You Down, God Will Never Let You Down. Danley Field in Montgomery is home to a unit of fighter pilots of the National Guard. For training exercises, these pilots fly a course from Montgomery, Alabama to Carrollton, Georgia on a regular basis. Their route was carefully picked because they fly only a few feet above treetops in a sparsely populated area as needed. Eagle Creek Cemetery in Tallapoosa County is in the middle of this course. Well, on a bright sunny day back in the 1980s, he wrote, "We of Langley Funeral Home were holding a graveside service at Eagle Creek Cemetery when, like a flash, one of those jets flew directly over the graveside. The pilot had a bird's eye view and was able to see what was taking place. When he was over the gravesite and with everyone looking up, he did a victory roll." Couch concludes, "I don't believe that pilot was showing off. I believe he was reminding us that for a Christian, death is not the end, but a victory." When Jesus talked to his disciples, it sounded like the end. Jesus said, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified." And at time for Passover, Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12. As they were eating, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Jesus is saying, one of you will let me down. To the betrayer, we want to ask, how could you do it? However, our conscience will not let us because we have let our friends down. We have let God down. God will never let us down. Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. Instead of the end, it is a new beginning." The song "New Again," written and sung by Brad Paisley and Sarah Evans, expresses it well. The voice of Brad is representative of Jesus, and the voice of Sarah is representative of Mary as they sing back and forth. "Mother, do not cry for me. All of this is exactly how it's supposed to be. I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy. As they nail me to this tree, just know the Father waits for me. God, how can this be your will, to have your son and my son killed? Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not the end. I'm making all things new again. I remember when you were born, in the manger when I first held you in my arms, so many miracles and lives you've changed, and this is how the world repays you with all this pain. Whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever you see, I don't want to see. Whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not the end. I'm making all things new again." Jesus' crucifixion on the cross was not the end. It was a new beginning. It was a new beginning that Jesus is the perfect and the holy sacrifice for our sins. It was a new beginning in that Jesus was resurrected with a victory over death for a new beginning that lasts through eternity. We can be forgiven that we let God down. We can be forgiven that we've let others down. All of this is possible because God never lets us down. Because God never lets us down, God gives us new beginnings with Holy Communion. God gives us new beginnings with the start of a new year. God gives us new beginnings with the start of each day. God gives us new beginnings with each new breath. Most of all, God gives us a new beginning with a new heart when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and every time we confess our sins and turn toward God, we have a new beginning. Let us pray. Faithful God, forgive us for our sins. Grant us a new heart that we may be new again. In Jesus' name, amen.